All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. So if we're going to Hebrews chapter 11, there's a good chance we're going to probably hear about something today. Faith. If we go to 1 Corinthians 13, you're going to probably hear about love. So yes, we want to look at an account that the author of Hebrews brings out. And this is not just historical facts, but it's to inspire us. And we look to how these men and women of faith trusted God so that we can do the same thing. When the author James in his epistle, when he was talking about Elijah, and you know, among Jewish people, you know, Elijah is a hero, and he said, you know, Elijah is a guy like you, like passions. When he prayed, this happened. And the idea is that when you pray, things happen. Because you're just a regular guy like Elijah. All right. And so we're going to look at Sarah in Hebrews 11:11. But her journey of faith involves her husband because it involved them having a child. If you don't know why that's the case, then ask your parents when you get home today. That was kind of a joke. All right. But let's look at Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself. Everybody say herself. And it's funny that it says, because you could say by faith, Sarah, and that would say the same thing, right? It's a little bit like someone saying, you know, I'm going to the grocery store, right? So there's an extra emphasis. So by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. So this was a miracle. This was the hand of God. Obviously, humans were involved. But it says here, the author of Hebrews says that there was a reason this happened. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, would you agree that If the Holy Spirit would have said, because God did a miracle, we would say, yes. Because it could just say, because God was faithful. Yes. But that's not what it's bringing out, is it? Because she. And so there are going to be stories that God wants to weave in your life. And this is all about the plan of God for Sarah and Abraham. And so there are things regarding his plan that are to take place in your life, and it's because you trusted God, because you judged him faithful who had promised. And I want to really kind of hone in on that last part of that verse there, because we could talk about God's faithfulness, and we should, but he was faithful in regards to something. To what? To his promise. And so it all starts with a promise. And thank God there's the one who backs up the promise. Last week, I don't know if you've seen this on your smartphones. They really are smart. And one of the things that kind of amazes me is when I go to my Google feed, I don't know why it knows what food I like. But it's sure enough, it's the food I like. It knows my sports teams, even knows where I want to go on holiday. Because it's like, I want to go there. Well, obviously you click it and then it begins to discover things about you. It knows you more than your spouse, some of you. So this news feed, this article came up this last week. I shared it with my wife this morning. And it was about a place in California that is a center where people do skydiving, where people pay money to jump out of an airplane. A lot of you are thinking, right now, you're thinking this, what white people do for fun. That's what, and I'm with you there, okay. And they pay money for this. So anyway, The article was saying that this guy was arrested. He went to jail because he was training skydive consultants and the people that jump out of the plane with you, and he was training them illegally and without the proper authority and recognition, and he was falsifying signatures. And at this place where he was like the head dude, in the last 40 years, 28 people have died. 28 people have died. And sadly, it took this long to shut the guy down. Well, when I was reading it, the story, I thought, this is where our son Timothy did skydiving. 11 years ago. Yeah, he was working when he was going to school in that part of America. He had a summer job, and one day a week he had off. And so he would do fun things, and he'd write us and send us pictures and everything. And so this was after the fact. He said, "Mom, Dad, it was really cool. We went skydiving." And he's a really, really frugal guy. It still is. And he said, "And this is really amazing. This place where I went, it's known, it's kind of famous for being the most inexpensive place in America where you can go skydiving." And my first thought was, "Son, I want you to save money, but that's not the place where you want to save money." Anyway, I sent this article to him and he was shocked. He says, "That is exactly where we went." And he told me, he said, "Yeah, the plane that we went on, you know, was kind of like you're going down the runway, you know, and you go up." So I wrote him back and I said, "Well, praise God." And I said, "Thank God for his faithfulness." All right, faithfulness. Now, is that just his general faithfulness, or do we have an indication that God said, "I'll protect you"? Well, turn over to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And this is a psalm that even when our kids were little, we would pray over them. When they would be out of our care, or even when they were in our care. But Psalm 91, verse 9, it says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." That sounds like a promise to me, doesn't it? Well, who gave us this promise? God Almighty. So, because there is a promise for angelic protection, that means we can say, "God, you are faithful to fulfill your promise." Now, had he not put that there, we wouldn't have any basis to trust him. All right, it might be a hope, it might be a wish, but he said it. So, because he said it, then I can judge him faithful who has promised. Who has promised. And in a sense, folks, it all starts with a promise. Okay? And let's look at Abraham and Sarah here. Because the Bible tells us, Hebrews tells us, that she judged him faithful who had promised. So there was something that she heard from God that was a promise. Now, it starts in Hebrews 12, and the promise gets clarified, and we see more of the nitty-gritty as we go, but here's where it starts. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. "Now, the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So, I'm going to make you a great nation. So, from Abraham is going to come a nation of people, and from that nation, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, you and I, looking back, we know exactly what that is. That is the Messiah who's going to come from the line of Abraham. And that's why when you go to Matthew's gospel And he starts talking about this one begat this one and begat this one. And sometimes we go, why? Just, I came here to read about Jesus. All right. It's because Matthew was writing to Jews, and he wanted them to know that Jesus came from Abraham, meaning he's the promised Messiah. He came. And so, but that means that Abraham and Sarah are going to have children. And at the time of the promise, no children. And they're old. They're past the age of having children. So God made a promise, and they're scratching their heads thinking, this looks weird. This is not, doesn't look like something we can pull off on our own. All right. So from his word comes his promise. So you and I, God is not going to be sending the Messiah through our family. Now, I know your mom, every lady here, you've got a kid, you believe in your kids, but sorry, your kids aren't the Messiah. All right. God has a good plan for their life. But where you and I go to get promises is from the Word of God. The Bible says that every promise is yes and amen through Christ Jesus. So through what Jesus did, the promises to the people of God, they are to us. They are to me. All right. So that promise of divine protection, That's my promise, all right? Every single person in this room, as you do the will of God, you're going to need more wisdom than you presently have right now, okay? Speaking of cell phones, every now and then your phone tells you, I need to do a download. I need to update. And you're like, okay, I didn't know you needed to do that, but go ahead, yes, download, all right? And you and I, we don't just get downloads while we sleep, but we can trust God for wisdom. James says, ask for wisdom. Elsewhere it says, Jesus was made unto you wisdom. So we have a reason to believe, a promise, that we can say, God, you're faithful. God, I'm involved in this job. I'm involved in this business. Lord, I'm trying to solve this situation in my family. God, I don't know what to do. Okay, that's your present state, but it means, God, I can trust you based on your promise that you will be faithful to act in my life based on what you say. So what God does in our life is based on his promises, and we judge him faithful. So we don't go to God like people go to a witch doctor, all right? A witch doctor doesn't have a canon of scripture and promises from Yahweh and from Jesus. But they'll whatever you want, they'll kind of accommodate you. And the idea of a witch doctor is this, that you want something, but you don't have the power to pull it off. So, you know, that person at my workplace that's blocking me from my promotion. I need you to, you know, I need you to do something. I can't do it, but you can. So here's some money. And then they have power to make what you want come to pass. All right. And so God's not a witch doctor trying that we go to every now and then for our whims and our wishes. No. We go to him based on what he has said. When there's one of the prayers of the Bible, and there are many different kinds of prayers, but there's a prayer of petition where we're asking of God. And there's the prayer of faith, the prayer that we trust God in faith. All right. Those prayers should start this way. God, you said. You said. And then we say what he said. Okay. Because we're not coming based on something else. All right. So it starts with a promise. So that means you and I need to be very conversant about the promises of God. Okay. And it needs to be a part of your life. And if Miracle Life is not your home church and you're visiting and you may settle somewhere else, or maybe you're going to be in another city or another place one day, please, I beg of you, go and always find yourself in a church that helps you to know the promises of God. The promises of God. The songs that we sing at Miracle Life are filled with indications, scripture references about what God said He will do. All right? Because it needs to be a part of your psyche. It needs to be something that your heart is established in when times are tough. Okay? Now, Pastor, what about personal prophecies? Because, you know, I went to this overnight meeting and somebody said, you know, October is my breakthrough month. I don't know if October is your breakthrough month or not. Okay. Here's what I do know. If you are foolish in October and disobedient and silly and ignore God and don't live according to His word, I can make a pretty good prediction. October is not your breakthrough month. Because you're kind of running the other way. All right. Usually in December, January, I couldn't find it for you today, but there's these memes that I just love, and it's of a couple boys, you know, and they've got rocks, and they're looking around a corner with a serious look on their face like this, and the meme says, me trying to find the prophet who told me 2024 was my year. Now, do we believe in the gifts of the Spirit 100%? And I am so thankful that at various times in my life, my wife's life, that we have had people who have, whether they said, you know, hey, I've got this impression, or I feel like the Lord has me praying this for you, or kind of dramatically in a service where there's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom about something that's going on, the mind of the Lord knows, and God uses somebody to communicate that. Oh, so helpful, so wonderful. First of all, you judge it according to the word of God. Is it outside of what He says? But you don't claim a personal prophecy the way you would a scripture. All right? And here's why I say that is because people miss it. People miss it. You sometimes misunderstand it. All right. I'll never forget this because it was so dramatic. The day before my wife and I moved to South Africa, so it would have been January 13th, 1994. And our little son Tim was with his grandmother, and we were at this church service. It was a special evening service. And we knew the pastor, but there was a guest minister. And this lady calls us out of the service. Come, you know, we stand before him. And said, the Lord shows me He's called you to the nations. And we're like, yeah, that's good. Because we've got a ticket tomorrow that says Johannesburg. All right. So this was really amazing. So this was God doing this. And she said, first, He's called you to Russia. And then Paris, and then Africa. So did we call the travel agent and say, we need to change the booking to Russia, Leningrad, Moscow? No. We just realized that, I mean, she got a lot right. But somehow, I don't know, maybe she was watching a movie about Russia or something, you know. So you don't act on personal prophecies. Okay? They are extremely helpful. All right? But we act on the Word of God. We act on the Word of God. Amen? And we use that as the baseline or the plumb line. All right? So let's go back to Abraham and Sarah's story. Because remember, she judged him faithful who had promise. So the promise, it was initiated in Genesis 12. Look at Genesis 15. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus, a worker. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. I don't have a child. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, this is Genesis 15. Obviously, we start in Genesis 1. So in the story of Genesis, Genesis 15 is the first time that the Bible records someone believes God. So this is amazing that God says, this is someone trusting me. All right, so he hadn't seen it. It hadn't happened. But when Abram was able to get his eyes off of what he was thinking in his own reasoning and really his own assumption to say, God, you haven't done anything yet. He was kind of saying, God, this is your fault. And what was God trying to get him to do? Trust me. And when he saw and began to count the stars, he trusted God. And this was a wonderful time with God and Abraham. Now, this wasn't the end of it, all right? Sarah herself was having battles, okay? In Genesis 16, verse 1 and 2, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. So, chapter 16 is saying it still hasn't happened yet. In the natural, nothing has changed. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please, go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. I know we've got some kids here. The PG-13 version of this is Abram's wife is suggesting adultery. All right, that's not always the case. It is in this case. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Was this the voice of God? Was this the plan of God? No. This was people conniving, thinking, well, it's not happening, so let's help God out with his promise. Now, please hear me and hear God's word is that if you follow from this sinful activity, it did not go well. It didn't go well for Abram and Sarah, for Hagar, for Ishmael. It was a mess, okay? And so God will never, ever use your sin to accomplish his purpose. He doesn't need you to compromise in order to get the job done. Maybe somebody's here and thinking, well, Pastor, that kind of reminds me of what I'm going through. There's this young man in my life, and I wouldn't mind marrying him, but he's saying, before we get married, you're going to sleep with me. So I guess probably I need to do that if this is God's will. Well, just hold on. It's not God's will. Tell the guy no, and it's always going to be no. And if he runs, let him run. Because if he compromises now, he's going to compromise the rest of his life, more than likely. He's not a man of the word. He's a man of something else that motivates his life. Some of you are thinking, what? Go ask your parents when you get home. All right. So, if you're in a business transaction or if you think, well, I've got to grease the wheels a little bit to make this happen. No. You don't ever, ever have to compromise your integrity. You don't ever, ever have to go against the word of God so that God's will be accomplished in your life. Never. Okay, God doesn't partner with sin. Okay, so, but notice what she said here. I find this fascinating because she said to her husband, see now, the Lord has restrained me from having children. Sarah, why'd you say that? Do we see anywhere in the account from chapter 12 to chapter 16, where the Bible says, and the Lord sent an angel and restrained Sarah, closed her womb. No. She is making an assumption about God based on what she sees. Please don't do that. Maybe you might be here and, you know, with all the openings and closing with COVID and companies weren't hiring, and maybe you're qualified and you say, you know, I'm not really working a job where I feel qualified and where I've trained in, and you're frustrated and it seems like doors have closed for you. That's a bummer. Don't take that as an indication of God's will. Well, I guess the Lord's restrained me. No, it just could be that people aren't hiring. Don't look at your circumstance and draw a line to say that that's God's will for you. Do you follow me? Because that's what Sarah did. And so when you make a wrong assumption about God, it will likely lead you to a wrong action and a wrong conclusion. And now I've got to do something else. No. All right. You figure out God's will based on his word, based on his character, based on what he has said about himself. All right. So if you want to point fingers, don't point a finger towards God. Okay. Now, here's what we can learn from Sarah is there will be times in life where you have some uncertainty, where you're like, I'm not really sure what's going on right now, but here's what I do know. God is faithful. God's promises are sure. Okay? Be very careful adding your timeline to God's will. All right? Because what we see, we don't know the exact number of years, but from Genesis 12 to Genesis 21, when the promise happens, there are some situations and time and things. And just from my observation, the time of God, many, many times he's working on me. All right, there's some things that need to change in me. That's what we see here. Sarah, it says that it happened because she judged him faithful. Well, she didn't do that on day one. It took a while. Other times, the will of God, the plan of God, God's working on other people. He's working on circumstances and things. And so we don't worry about the time. We trust God. Amen? We trust God. All right? So again, that's why I find it tough when, and I see this all over the time and at meetings and on Facebook, you know, exhorters and everything, something, you know, as we enter into October, you'll see the blessings in October. Maybe not. All right. Imagine if you know, the prophet told Sarah, hey, this is your month. This is your month of breakthrough. No. All right. I trust God and I don't worry about the timing. Okay. I know that while I'm trusting him, that I believe I received when I prayed. Amen? All right. So now here's the other thing that is weird about what Sarah believed is she said, okay, wait a second. God made a promise and he repeated that promise. Start in chapter 12, chapter 15. And then she believes that God is the one messing up his own promise. Hey, people have some interesting ideas about God, don't they? And here is Sarah. We get to see it, sadly. I mean, bummer for her. I'm glad not all of my goofball things I've believed and said are in the Bible. All right. They're just a few times in my sermons. And not all of them, because they might not be helpful. All right. Let's look at the next chapter. Chapter 17. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, so God has changed Abram's name to Father of Nations. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, meaning Mother of Nations. And I will bless her, and I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. So the next time she went to the market and somebody said, "Hey, Sarai, excuse me, God Almighty has changed my name to Mother of Nations." And they're thinking, has she been in the sun too long? Okay. She's old, she doesn't have kids, and she's calling herself Mother of Nations. All right. Now, is it wrong for you to say what God says? No. I've heard somebody say this, and this is so good. It's always safe to say what God says. And we must say what God says. So if God calls you Father of Nations, don't use your old name. If God calls you Mother of Nations, don't use your old name. And if God says you're accepted in the Beloved, and you are washed and cleansed, and you are raised with Jesus in heavenly places, don't say otherwise, because that is what God has said. Now, where people get into trouble is when they say silly things about themselves. Because somebody might be saying, well, you're talking about name it and claim it. Yes, name it. God said it. And I claim his promise. So in that sense, yes, I'm a name it, claim it person. And so should you be. Abraham was. Now, hear me out. Here's where people do silly things. Was one time when I was at camp meeting, I was an usher. I was before I knew my wife. And when at this camp meeting, I wore a red jacket. I mean, I looked Pentecostal or UCZ. but it was that color. Yeah, bright, bright red, you know. And I'm doing my ushering, you know. And there was this guy. And later I realized his lift didn't necessarily go to the top floor. Okay. He wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. But he kind of heard some of these things and he just decided. So he made all these declarations to me. He says, and he was a short guy. All right. Now I do say that about most guys but he was especially short. Okay. And he was not, you know, he's just kind of average build, a little bit on the skinny side. And he wasn't wearing fancy clothes or anything. And he said, hey, how you doing? And he says, I am 6'5". I have the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm a multimillionaire. Well, it would be no, no, and no. Okay. Now, see, here's the thing. None of those were based on a promise of God. None of them were based on what God says about you. You know, newsflash, if you're an adult, you've quit growing. So if you want to be bigger, get bigger shoes. You know, wear slimming clothes. I don't know what you can do. All right. But that is what it is. And there's no promise that's going to change that, because there isn't one. You follow me? So people kind of give faith a bad name when they do silly things. Okay. But trusting what God says based on his promise is our lifestyle. And Sarah is commended as an example to us. Trust God because he's faithful, based on what? Based on the promises that he has made to you. Now, Sarah didn't have this information that you and I have in Exodus 34. God hadn't done this yet, but you and I can go to Exodus 34. God passed in front of Moses, proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord," or "Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness." So does God abound in faithfulness to his covenant people? He does. So I can believe about God what God has said about himself. Some people say, well, you know, God is a mystery. Not that mysterious. Well, you know, sometimes he's faithful and sometimes he's not. No, 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 no. He said, I abound in faithfulness. Faithfulness based on what? Based on what he has promised. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a promise. Verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Do it what? What he has promised. Based on his nature, based on his faithfulness. All right? So God promised something to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah herself had to believe this. Sarah herself had to judge him faithful. All right, now go to Genesis 21. All right, this is the end of the story. This is the conclusion of this part of the journey. Genesis 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he said. Not randomly, not in a surprising way. The Lord visited Sarah as he said. And the Lord did for Sarah what? As he had promised. See, this is how God works in the earth. Is he comes to us and he says, trust me, believe me, take me at my word. And when we do, the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. So this is the what. This is the miracle. All right. Hebrews 11:11 tells us why, doesn't it? Why did this happen? Because Sarah believed. She judged him faithful. All right. So this is an example for us, and it's an encouragement for us. We're not going to have the Messiah come from our family, but you and I now have the canon of Scripture. And the Bible says all of the promises of God are yes and amen. All right? Because of what Jesus did. So Jesus made them yes, and we're the ones who say amen. So be it. All right? So he will do it. Let's keep reading there in Genesis 21. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. I mean, it was good to be a parent, as God commands you. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Now, when you and I see that, and it's this beautiful picture of people who will laugh, people who will rejoice when they hear what has happened. Some of you know that this Sarah and laughter, this is a really good situation. But there was a time where Sarah laughed and it wasn't funny. God was talking to her husband and she overheard the conversation that there's going to be a child. And she laughed and God heard and said to Abraham, why is she laughing? This isn't Comedy Central. That's not a joke. All right. And she was rebuked for laughing. All right. And now there's going to be laughter because of the faithfulness of God, because of the goodness of God, because of the hand of God. People will rejoice and see. And so I believe what one of the things that God wants a lesson for us today is for you and I, folks, we can skip the Hagar story. We can skip the Ishmael part of the story. That doesn't have to be a part of our faith journey. We don't have to compromise. We don't have to help God out. We don't have to use sin or doubt or compromise to bring about the promises of God in our life. We can say, God is faithful. And when God, like he did with Abraham and Sarah, when he says, hey, I need your mouth to be in line with my word, we'll make the adjustment. James says that our tongue is powerful.
It's like a fire, all right? And it kindles stuff. But one of the analogies James makes about our tongue is like the rudder of a big ship. It's small compared to the ship. So is your tongue. Meaning, your tongue has direction-setting capabilities. Turn it towards what God says and watch the ship of your life take a new course. Align what you say with what God says. Well, but I don't see it yet. Remember, it kept saying, and Sarah was childless, and Sarah was childless. Well, you know what? That might be what people are seeing, but I'm going to start saying Mother of Nations. I'm going to start saying I'm walking in the fullness of my calling. God, you said that you want me to put my hand to work. Father, thank you that my hands are strong. Thank you. Father, I picture the day with you where, man, I need a Sabbath because I've been working so hard. That's your will for me. And I'm going to align my heart, my mind, and my mouth according to your word. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Stand to your feet with me. Now, something I believe God wants us to say some things. But if you're married here today, I want you to grab your spouse by the hand because I want you to say these things together. But I hope those of you who are unmarried and you would like to be married, I hope you see how important it is to marry a believer. Someone who believes. Okay? Because in order for the promise of God to be fulfilled in Abraham's life, he needed a believing wife. And without her, it wouldn't have happened. Sarah herself believed. And you've got to set your sights high that you will not compromise just for someone who went to church 20 years ago. Well, they say they're a Christian. That means they're not. It's not a matter of what they say. I can see it in their life. Yeah, they might not be perfect. Yeah, they might have a past. But you know what? Their present right now is they love Jesus. And they obey his word, all that they know to do right now. Those are the people who are eligible for marriage in your life. Well, but Pastor, I can't find them. You need to go to a different shopping center. Okay, I'm not a matchmaker. I'm not going to do that. But there are plenty of single men who love Jesus and obey him. Plenty of single women. Well, but her ears are too small. Who cares about her ears? Amen? Just buy her a wig that covers the ears, all right? You won't have to look at her ears. Amen. Marry a believer, one who believes, one who will stand with you. And when God changes your name, God will change their name. And you will walk together in the plan of God. That's who you need to be married to. Well, but Pastor, I've got to get married in 2024. No, you don't. No, you don't. But I don't even know who they are. Well, you believe God, all right? You make yourself available. You do some looking, all right? And trust God with the rest. Amen? All right, so spouses, Pastor Haley, we're going to say some things over our life today. If you're unmarried, then just grab the hand of the Holy Spirit, all right? And if your spouse isn't here, all right? Because you're in union with him. He's in you. All right? But here's what I believe God wants us to do. Is he wants your mountain to hear your voice. Not the declarations of your pastor, not the declarations of a Facebook prophet. Your voice, the word of God coming out of your mouth, begin to say over your life the challenges, the issues that you're facing. Amen? Let's do that in Jesus' name. Father, right now, Lord. Father, with my wife, Lord, we speak over our children. All of our children are taught of the Lord. Great shall be the peace. Great shall be the prosperity of our children. God, that's what you said. You said that about our kids. You said that about our daughter-in-law. So, Father, we say that. We decree and declare that over our children's life. Father, over our life, Lord, for the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, Father, as we have huge decisions, Father, huge things that are on our table, God, we thank you that we have wisdom from heaven. We thank you that the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Thank you, Father. We ask you for the right wisdom at the right time with the right source material. God, we thank you that we walk in the light. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now you go ahead right now. Speak the word of God. Speak the promises of God over your life right now. Speak them over your life. In Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we bless you, Lord. This is what is in my heart for some of you, is that as you saw this example, and as God said, you need to change what you've been believing, change what you've been saying. Folks, you've got to take this home with you. This can't just be in a church service. But you've got to stop making these wrong declarations about God like Sarah did. These wrong assumptions that were not factual, that were not biblical. All right? They were just based on her perspective. Say what God says about your situation. As you do, here's what the Word of God says, that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. His word is a light to your path. And as you place the word of God in your heart and in your mouth, there will be more and more and more light for your path. More light for your path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's for you. That's for you guys. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Oh, and there's more light. So much more light to come. So much more light to come. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Let's just lift up our hands and thank Him right now. Father, we thank you. Lord, that you are faithful. Your promises are true. Your promises are backed up by what you have said. And we are believers. We are of those, like Hebrews 11, who trust you. Who trust you. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. This is not for everybody, but this is for a couple of married people. You've been out of alignment with each other, and you've been struggling. Align yourself to God's word, then you'll be aligned with each other. Align yourself to the promises of God. You've been arguing around peripheral things. Let God's word be what brings you together. And you'll see unity. You'll see unity in your marriage. You'll see unity in your prayer life. And you'll see a lot more fruit to come. But align yourself Jesus' name around His word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, if you're here in this place and you've heard about a God who is faithful, you've heard about a God who can be trusted, a God who comes through, who upholds His covenant and His love and His faithfulness, all of those things are true. Now here's what you need to know. They're true for his covenant people. And you need to be in his family. See, every single person in this auditorium, when we were born naturally into this world, not only were we born into a physical family, we were born into a spiritual family. It wasn't God's. We were born under sin. Jesus said that our spiritual father, the one who gave us that sin nature, was Satan himself. But he's a redeemer. He's a rescuer. See, I grew up in a church, and I'm thankful that I knew about God and I knew about Jesus. But he wasn't my Lord. I wasn't following him. And knowing about Jesus is a good start. But the Bible says this, to as many as receive him, Jesus, God gives those people the power to become the children of God. God wants you in his family. But the only pathway to being a part of his family is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Here's the good news. He's available. He died for you. He loves you. He stands at the door of every man's heart and he knocks. And so today, open up your heart and receive him as Master, as Lord, to forgive and wash and cleanse you. Oh, he's a good Savior. He's a good King. And you can follow him today. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Other people have been praying for you. And you need to make that decision today. Perhaps you're a backslidden believer. And there was a time where, man, you were trusting him. But it's been a few years. And your life has been a broken mess ever since you turned your back on God. Come home to a father. A father who throws parties for dirty kids. When you come home, come home to him today. I'd like to pray with you. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know what you're talking about. That's me. I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I need to come home to him. I want to pray with you. And so that we can, I'm going to ask you right now to lift up your hand. Lift up your hand real, real high. Just wave it at me and say, that's why I know you're making this decision for Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else over here, God bless you. Thank you. Today is the day of salvation. Thank you, sir. Anyone else before we pray? Hallelujah. Thank you over there. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to every single person that lifted up your hand. Would you please just grab whatever you may have come to church with, a cell phone, handbag, come and meet me up front. I want to look you in the eye. I want to pray with you personally. And I want to witness this miracle that's going to take place in your life. So step out right now. Just come and meet me up front. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wonderful. God bless you, ma'am. Now, the Bible makes an incredible statement. It says, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so why don't we lift up one of our hands just as a sign to say, God, I'm looking to you for help right now. And I ask you to pray this prayer from your heart. Say this. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent your only son, Jesus, to die in my place, to suffer for my sin. You raised him from the dead. I believe that. Jesus, you are my risen Savior. Forgive me of every sin. Wash and cleanse me on the inside. Today, I turn my back on sin. I turn my back on the world. And Jesus, I follow you and your word for the rest of my days. I thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. What an awesome, awesome day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just look to your left? We're going to go to a place of prayer. We're going to go to a place of prayer. We want to spend some time with you, give you a book, if you would just allow us to do that. God bless you. Just we'll head this way right now. Hallelujah. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. Well, one of the things that happens at Miracle Life every Sunday is that if you're facing a problem, we've got folks up front, our care team, and exactly what you heard today, that we will trust God with you and we'll trust Him based on what He's promised. So if you're facing something, first thing we're going to do is, what has God said? What has He said in His Word? And then we'll stand on that promise together with you. And we'll watch God do amazing, amazing things in your life. So please don't leave here struggling, confused, with a problem, because we would like to pray with you, pray for you. Amen. Father, we love You so much. Thank You that You are trustworthy, that Your promises are yes and amen, that You are the faithful God. And Lord, as we leave this place, may we take that message with us to a world that needs to know more about You and more clearly about who You are. Lord, use us everywhere we go, in every situation. Lord, may we be bold and share what You're like. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. We love You so much. Have a great, great day in Jesus. We'll see you next week.